Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Sunday Night Live. We're so glad that you tuned in. I hope that you're blessed by tonight's show. I'm really excited about it because this little bit of this story kind of goes straight to my heart, goes home for me. And I just want to introduce you to Amy Vanpool.
Thanks for having me, Natalie.
Yes, I'm glad you said yes.
I know.
We're going to get through this night. You know, we're going to do this.
Yes.
We're gonna
Let's do it.
Well, so the other day, or I guess a couple of weeks ago, you were at church and you had given your testimony.
Yes.
And after hearing your testimony, I just thought it was such a powerful testimony, and there was just so many things about you that a lot of us didn't know. And I know that probably was a hard thing for you to share.
Yes, it was. I'm like, gosh, I don't want to share that part. And he's like, it's not about me, it's for my glory. So, I mean, you have to be obedient to what he tells you to do, because you know there's something on the other side of that. You know that he has something for you, you know, on the other side. He's healing you in the process.
That's right. That's right. I think he does. I think he does uses that time when we share what God has done in our life. I think it's just another layer of that onion being taken off.
Yes, that's what I always explain. It's like wound care, you know, like you get a wound and then, you know, or like a burn unit, you know, you go and you scratch and then, you know, you bandage it up a little bit. And then after that heals, you get a little deeper. And then, you know, that's just how he does. We couldn't bear it all at once.
No.
Him healing us for everything that we've done.
Just cut the onion in half.
Yeah. We couldn't bear it.
No, we can't. And that's one thing I love about God is he works at what's best for us. And our timetable may not be the same as somebody else's timetable. And so we shouldn't look at that. But what is God doing with you and within you now? You know, and just taking that time, and he's never too early.
And he's never too late.
And he's never too late.
Right.
But he always shows up straight on time. I would say 1 second before the deadline.
Yes, yes. Literally.
Yes. But I guess if you didn't have, I guess that's the point of faith, right?
Right. Exactly. That's what I always explain, like, how people are like, you just have to have faith. You can't just have faith. Like, you know, you have to, like, we all want to just have faith, but, you know, that's how you learn to trust him. He gets you through those things. Like, literally at that moment, at the right moment, you know, the Holy Spirit just takes over and, you know.
Well, and then as we have faith and we believe and those things come to pass, we become strengthened by it, and then when we face another thing, we look back and we say, okay, if I know God can get me through that,
then I know he can get me through this.
That's right. And
yes.
I heard if we had everything now like a genie in a bottle, you know, every time we wanted something, you know, we got that. where would we be?
Right.
If we were instant, we got to realize that it's not always necessarily an instant gratification or an instant.
We want instant gratification.
We do.
We all want instant gratification on everything, but.
That's right.
I mean, what we want may not be, you know, what's good for us.
That's right.
And he knows exactly what we need.
And we just have to trust him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Even though it's like literally dying to yourself.
Pick up your cross daily. Pick up your cross. Pick
That's right. Cross. That's right. So when you were giving your testimony the other night, you were actually doing that for a Celebrate Recovery meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so can you just tell us a little bit about Celebrate Recovery and how long have you been going to that?
I've been going about a year. We just started Celebrate Recovery in Shamrock in either December. I think it was December. So we meet in Shamrock at Calvary Chapel at 6 p.m. And we usually take a van over here. We meet at the church, and then we take a van over there for us that are in Wheeler. But where it started is Wheeler, and we meet at the DV8 building.
Oh, okay.
On Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. And we just, you know, iron sharpens iron. So
that's right.
We're just all in there. We're all just, you know, we're just real and honest. And, okay, no matter what you're struggling with, there's somebody in the group that needs to hear what you have to say. There's going to be something that you say that one of us it's going to resonate with us. And even though you may not think it's a big deal, your day-to-day struggle, there is somebody that is dealing with the same struggle that is going to help. I mean, we all help each other. We can all just be real and raw, and it's confidential. No, you know.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yes, it's confidential. And in this little bitty town where, you know, everybody knows everything about everybody, it really does stay confidential. And you really can get healing through that, through talking about it. Because the enemy wants to shut you up. I mean, the devil doesn't want you to talk about what you're going through. And, like, nobody else is going through the same thing. But we really are. We have, you know. And just getting it out, you know, the enemy can't torment you with it anymore.
Yes, that's right. That's a good point. I think so many times that's what we do. Instead of dealing with something, or trying to, you know, bring something to the light or get help, we try to keep it a secret.
Right.
And that's how that's how the enemy holds that all over us. But once we get that out, there's a thing, something happens.
Yes.
When you open your mouth and you let that out and you bring somebody else into your situation.
And when you hold it in, your heart just gets hardened to it. You know, your heart just gets hardened to where you just keep stuffing it and stuffing it and stuffing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get it out. It's just poison, just keeping it in.
It is. It is. And it just continues to fester and,
yes.
And move on. Well, I'm going to go ahead and we went ahead and recorded this when you gave your testimony a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to go ahead and play the recording right now. We're going to let everybody listen to your testimony. You guys are going to love this.
Hello, good evening, everybody. We're so, so glad that you're here, and it's going to be an awesome night tonight, and so thanks for coming out, and we're so excited that we have Amy Vanpool that's going to share testimony here, but before we start, we're just going to get in the presence of God here for a second, and so Trent's going to lead us out with a song, and so we'll pray, and then you guys can stand. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much that your presence is here. You said that when two or three of us are here, that you're in our midst. I thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. You're in our hearts, Lord, and you have something that you want to impart to every single person in this building. And so, Lord, we just open up our hearts wide to receive from you tonight. And we just draw near to you. You've already drawn near to us, and we just draw near to you. We just take that step closer to you because we just need you, Lord. And we're so thankful that you draw close to us always. So thank you for tonight. Thank you that as our hearts are towards you, that you're going to show yourself strong on our behalf in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Mm-hmm. Every time I turn around, something's always in my way. All I wanna do is close my eyes and run to you. Can you see me through? Would you help me through? So many times tried to make it on my own, relying on my own strength and wisdom to carry on. When does a hurting stop? When does a healing come my way? And I hear you say, climb up in my lap, my child. Let me show you love and show you peace that never leaves you down. Cast all your worries and cast all your cares upon me. Still these questions in my mind keep clouding my way. Why would you love me when I brought you so much shame? How could you care for me when the weight of the world rests? I hear you say, climb up in my lap, my child. Let me show you love and show you peace that never leaves any doubt. Cast all your worries and cast all your cares upon me. Cast all your worries and cast all your cares upon me. Just close your eyes and run to me. Won't you run to me, my child?
Thank you, Lord. We just run to you right now. Thank you, Father God, that you're here with open arms to receive us. We thank you that you're our Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, that your peace is here, your love is here, your joy is here. And we just cast our cares on you because you care so much for us. We just run to you tonight in Jesus' name.
On behalf of the CR, we're just so glad that y'all would come out and just listen to an amazing testimony by Amy Vanpool. She's been such a central figure in CR and just one-on-one relationships with so many people in this community, and it's just amazing to have someone to look up to like her. We're struggling with addiction, which a lot of us have in this room. A lot of times there's not that person that we can look up to see that we can actually get through this. And Amy just is an amazing example of the one-on-one relationships that she built with each person here. And it's just amazing to be a part of this group that's changed so many lives and is going to continue changing lives. And it's just a blessing that we get the chance to hear Amy speak today. So everyone welcome Amy Vanpool.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, I'm going to pray real quick. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come do your thing. Lord, I just ask that you just move me aside, that you just speak through me, that anything that is not of you, that is not said. And I just speak deliverance and freedom in this house tonight in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm super nervous. I just thought I was giving this speech to my little group right here. And then I saw it on Facebook, and like immediately, like the spirit of fear came on me, and I haven't slept in 2 days, and I'm just a nervous wreck. So just bear with me. When Andrew asked me to give my testimony, I was like, no problem. I've given it a million times, and it's usually about sex, drugs, rock and roll, wrap it up with a little Jesus bow, and, you know, it's amazing. And Jesus does come in, you know, to give us life. But we have to know that there's a real enemy, and he is real, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God told me, I usually start my testimony with my addiction, but he told me tonight, you're going to go deeper. And I said, I really don't want to, and he said, it's not about you, it's for my glory. So I was born and raised here in Wheeler, had a great childhood, was neighbors with Jason and Teresa, and everything was normal until I was 14. I played sports, and I was playing basketball, and I hurt one of my knees, and I ended up having ACL surgery. And right after I rehabbed that back, I got released and hurt my other knee. I got released and I went straight to a basketball game. I was in for like 54 seconds and I tore my other knee up and I had to have surgery. And as I was rehabbing that knee, I noticed I was getting a little chunkier. Or, as we call, thicker today. But I didn't know what was, you know, I figured if I was pregnant, they would have done a pregnancy test when I had surgery. But I just kept getting thicker and thicker. And so I did what any 14-year-old would do. I called my best friend, Cammy. And somehow we got a pregnancy test. I don't know how we got a pregnancy test. But we got a pregnancy test and drove to Shamrock. Went to a little gas station that you have to have the key to, you know, go to the bathroom. And I took it, and it was positive. And I don't think we said a word the whole way home. I can't remember that either one of us said anything the whole way home. She dropped me off, and I got a hold of my sister that lived in Amarillo, and she got me into Planned Parenthood. And I went, and they said that I was 7 months pregnant. And I got up enough courage to tell my mom and dad, and my dad said, you're not keeping it. There's no way you're keeping it. So the next week, we drove to Houston, and I had an abortion. It was 3 days. It was a three-day procedure, and I literally had to have the baby. And in the room, the nurses and doctors were, they were just talking about what they were going to eat for supper. They were, had Michael Jackson in the background. I remember the doctor carrying the baby out in a black trash bag. And then we came home, and it was never talked about again. My parents were like, we don't want to hear it, you know. So that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to suppress it. He doesn't want you to talk about it because your heart will get hardened to it, which is exactly what happened when I eventually was that nurse that was working in abortion clinics. And I was the nurse that was in there acting like it was no big deal. I did that for about 5 years. And in that 5 years, I had 4 more abortions. After that, I got married, and I had two kids, Kami right there, and Cover. And I was working as a family practice nurse, and my dad had called me and said that he didn't feel good, and I was his favorite nurse, so he wanted to come see me. So he came, and as soon as he walked in, his pupils were two different sizes, so we immediately knew something was wrong. And we got him in for a CAT scan, and the doctor told us he had brain cancer and had 2 weeks to live. So my dad did treatment for a little bit, but then he called me when my mom left to go take a shower, and he said he was ready to go home, that he was tired of fighting, and to promise to not let my mom see him suffer. And so we got him home that night on a Friday night, and by Saturday night, his body was already modeling. That's what it's called, right? Modeling. His body was already modeling, and he was unresponsive. So I called the doctor that I work for, and I asked her how much morphine to give him to help him go. And so I gave him that morphine to help him go. And when he did, he looked up, and he just looked to the corner, and he just took two deep breaths, like, and I obsessed about those two breaths, like he was trying to tell me something, but he couldn't, because I had given him the medicine to help him go, like I had killed him. I obsessed about it. I couldn't quit thinking about it. I couldn't quit talking about it. And the doctor that I worked for, she was like, you have to shut up. You have to let this go. We can't keep hearing about it. So again, the enemy wants to shut you up. He doesn't want you to deal with it. He doesn't want you to heal from it. So she gave me some Ativan, and I took the Ativan, and it wasn't enough. Nothing was ever enough, and my pill addiction just got way out of control. I was calling in scripts all over Oklahoma City, all the pharmacies. I knew how to do it and not get caught until I did get caught. And you know how that goes. And I got charged with 143 distribution charges. My mom hired an attorney, and I don't know how I got out of those charges. And so I just got a new job working for another doctor, and that doctor happened to be an IV meth user. So that's when I started shooting up. We started shooting up in the office, and till eventually I caught a new distribution charge. I found out I was pregnant with Kavery the day that I was sentenced, and I knew that I would not have had her. I knew I would have had an abortion with her if I was in the free world, because my husband had a vasectomy when Kami was born, right after Kami was born, and she wasn't his. So I was incarcerated through the whole pregnancy, and I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell my sister. I didn't tell anyone. And I got released, but I got released to Wheeler County because I had caught new charges in Wheeler County for stealing massive amounts of money from my mom. And so I got to Wheeler County, big, fat, pregnant, my clothes don't fit, and I was like, okay, well, I was like, I can still not tell anybody because I knew I'd probably go to prison in Texas, and I would just give her up for adoption, and nobody would know. But God had different plans, and they let me go. Wheeler County let me go. That's unheard of, huh? They let me go. I'm like, you can't let me go. Nobody knows I'm pregnant. And so I walked out big, fat, pregnant. My family was horrible. Kami's face. Okay. Kami punched my stomach like she thought it was a pillow. And I was like, surprise, I'm
pregnant.
So I had her right after that. And I had absolutely no bond with her whatsoever. Hold on. Sorry. I had no bond with her whatsoever, and I immediately went back to doing drugs like 2 days after, and Kavery went with my sister for 2 years. And in that 2 years, my addiction spiraled out of control. I just kept getting charge after charge. I think I had charges in 12 different counties. And I lost custody of Kami to her dad. Her dad left me. And the charges from Wheeler finally caught up with me. So I went to court. You were in court, weren't you? I went to court. I was so high, I couldn't even get off dope from going to court. And he gave me 4 years of probation. And I was just sitting there like, why? I was so lost. I was so broken. I just wanted to go. I didn't want to deal with life anymore. I was looking at 14 years, 10 in Oklahoma. I'd already got 10 years in Oklahoma. And so that was four added onto it. And I walked out of there. I had to go to my probation office, which she's sitting right there. My probation officer is right there. I see her, and I love you so much. And I was so defeated. I was like, why would they ever do that? Why? I'm telling you, I can't stay clean for 4 years. I can't do it. And she said, we're going to figure it out, and I believe in you. Like, she believed in me. Like, I didn't believe in myself. She believed in me. So I kept getting positive tests. I mean, I would walk in. I was always honest with her. I was like, I just did a bump, like, right before I walked in. And so I don't know how long it was, but she was like, we're going to send you to rehab. And I'm like, I've already been to five and a million times detox, and nothing ever worked. And she said, this one is faith-based, and you're going to take your baby. And I was like, I really don't think that's a good idea, because I don't know her. And she's like, you're going to get to know her. You're going to take her. So my kids and my mom took me to Odessa to this rehab. We were walking around. Everybody was showing us around. And I remember my oldest daughter just saying, I really hope this works, but I'll believe it when I see it. Like, I had let them down so many times. So many times I went to rehab and they celebrated my graduation, and I literally went and got high right after that. Like, I'd let them down so much. I was in this little room with no TV, no phone, no nothing, with this baby that I didn't know. I was coming off of meth. I was coming off heroin. And I went into psychosis. I started hearing voices, and I just felt like I was just going crazy. And the pastor there was like, we're calling a pastor in to do deliverance on you. And I had no clue what that meant. I've never heard of that. I never knew anything about it. So she pulls up real fast. She comes in, and she just starts calling out spirit of murder, spirit of death, spirit of bondage, spirit, just all these spirits. And I immediately, the voices immediately went away, and I felt a little bit relief. And it was at that time that I allowed God to really come in, that I really could surrender to God, and I allowed him to come in and just do heart surgery. I had true repentance for everything that I had done, that I had done to my kids. God is such a gentleman. He just does it in layers, because, I mean, we couldn't bear everything that we've done all at the same time. He loves us too much. During that time, Jesus just loved me back to life, and he just loved me so that I could love Kavery. And in that time, we built if you see us now, you can't tell us nothing about each other. Like, you would never know that we didn't have a bond when she was born. And I went into, right after that, I went into full-time ministry for 3 years under the pastor that did deliverance on me. And I did that for 3 years until COVID shut the church down. And then when COVID shut the church down, I moved back and I got a job at the convenience store at Garrison's, which I love. It's an amazing job. But my friend Sonia told me, she was like, the Bible says to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, spread the good news. And the world comes to me on I-40. Like, the world comes to me. I get to do that. And I do that. Me and Garrett, I work on Sunday morning. So when we can't come to church, we do Bible trivia. And, I mean, if there's customers in there, they just join in. You know, we do a scripture every day. Like, we just get to love people. And there's so many broken, hurt people. So I'm still in awe that, like, God ordained me to do His job after everything that I did. Like, He chose me to bring His word. He chose me to be their mom after all the stuff that I did. He restored the relationships back with my kids. We're all saved and we all love Jesus. And I'm 7 years clean. I did 4 years probation here in Texas. I was able to pay off all my restitution and get off early. And this January, on January 7th, I just completed a 10-year sentence in Oklahoma. And I'm officially off paper. And the relationships that God brought back, with my mom, she gives me her debit card willingly to go to the grocery store. Like what? I have a key to her house, you know? And through this testimony right here, yesterday was the first day that we've ever talked about that abortion. And through this, we're both able to get healing off of that. My oldest daughter, Coger, she has my grandbaby, and she's the cutest little baby. She looks just like me and acts just like me. And she trusts me with my grandma. Like, she trusts me to keep her. And Kami, God redeemed the time that I missed with Kami. When she was a freshman in college, she got to move in with me in Odessa. And we lived in a 400 square foot apartment. And we had nothing, like a queen size mattress and a twin mattress that was just together, and that's literally all we had. And you'd have thought we lived in a mansion. Like, we loved it. And Kavery, if anybody's ever been around a Kavery, you know why the enemy would want to take her out. She just loves Jesus. She can pray the paint off the wall. She'll do deliverance on you. She'll call out demons on you, whether you think you have demons on you or not. She'll pray healing over you. Every night she prays for two people, and one night she even prayed for the devil. I'm like, why in the world do you do that? And she said, the Bible said to pray for your enemies. I was like, whoa. We'll work on that one when I get the answer. I called Sonia on that one. I'm like, what did I say? But so God is amazing. And I just want to end with, Celebrate Recovery is awesome. We all sit with each other in our mess. We don't let each other sit there for very long, but we sit there in their mess. We cry together. We do everything together. We're there for each other. They're all here, like, here, supporting me. So I can't wait till y'all come up and tell y'all's story. And I always see, when I see somebody's name in the paper that they went to jail, or on Facebook, I'm like, hell lost another one, because we're going to pray them right to the feet of Jesus. Thank you, guys.
Wow. Wow. I thought I had heard her story. Wow. God, I thank you for Amy. I thank you for your redemption. Father, you never give up on us. You're constantly drawing us to you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, you didn't give up on Amy. That, Father, you drew her to you and you drew her to you. Until today, she is where she is. She is set free and living the good life, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you will do that for every one of us in here. That, Father, you have the redemption plan for each one of us. You have a purpose for each one of us. Even if we detour and we get off and we go the wrong direction, Father, you just put us back on the plan. You just put us back in place, Father, because you never give up. You're constantly redeeming us, Father. And I thank you, you do not sit in the mount in time, but you pull us to where you need us to be. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for each person that came here. Father, minister to their hearts, Father. Speak to them, Lord God. And I thank you that they'll walk away from here changed and different. In Jesus' name.
Man, that was really an awesome testimony.
My testimony next year will be the warfare on this testimony, because, I mean, the devil does not want you to talk. He doesn't want you to get it out there, because it's gonna heal you and it's gonna help somebody else. I mean, and the thing about it is I'm in ministry, deliverance ministry. I know spiritual warfare. I know how to cast out demons. I know how to cancel assignments. I know, you know, how to do all the warfare. And I also know the scriptures to add onto it. Like the Lord is upon me. He anoints me. I know this. I know all the scriptures to say, but that still doesn't take away the hit, you know, that the enemy tries to give you for doing what God is telling you to do.
Yeah, it seems like it is so powerful when you think, I have overcome all of those areas, and now here I am, I'm fighting the enemy again.
Exactly. And a lot of times, I mean, the enemy can't touch us if we're a believer, but what he can do is he can mess with our minds. He can put ideas in our head that are his ideas, but make you think that they're your ideas, you know? And so that's what he does. He messes with your head.
And so you mentioned in your testimony that when you were preparing to give it, that God said, no, you're going to tell this.
Yes. I've never told that part of my testimony. I always start with where my drug addiction started, because, you know, that's usually just, you know, where it started and when I started doing drugs. But this time, It was just crazy. He's like, no, you're going to go a little deeper. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go that deep. And he was like, you're going to go deeper. It's not about you, for my glory. And so I did.
Now, do you think that probably was part of your, the struggle that, you know, that warfare that was going on, because that was part of the testimony that you had never shared?
Yes, I think so. I mean, not a lot of people knew that part of the abortions and me working at the abortion clinics, you know, and the fact that me and my mom hadn't talked about that, you know, since that had happened, and me and my mom got to talk about it. And I mean, there was healing for both of us. I mean, it was just an amazing what God did at that moment, just for me being obedient and, you know, doing this testimony and talking about it and getting it out.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm just trying to imagine this. Here you are, Amy, you're preparing. Lord, please help me tell this testimony. He says, well, I want you to tell everybody about your abortions.
Yes.
Did you, like, instantly freak out?
Yeah, I instantly freaked out because, for one, my mom did, you know, I just didn't know how I was going to, you know, bring that up.
I'm going to imagine what your quiet time's like. It's what
yeah, I'm like, no, Lord, no.
And not then, bad.
Yeah, not
it's
bad.
About drugs.
Okay, I'll tell about one, but not four other ones. You know, it's just, it's just rough. I mean, you know, it's hard to talk about, much less, you know, it's hard to hear. Like, it's hard to hear. It's also hard to talk about.
It is. And I had said earlier in the first part of the show that this actually hits home with me. And that is because, and I don't know that I've even told any of my radio listeners, but I too have experienced two abortions in my life. And that is one thing that I did not want to talk about. And that happened, it's really kind of neat or odd, or I don't know what the word is, but it was about the same age as when your first one was. And I think about that, and here I am now, as old as I am now, and thank God I have overcome that area of my life, because it caused so much shame, and it caused so much just restriction in my life, and hard to love myself.
It's really hard after, you know, you give your life to Christ, and, you know, all that, you're really going through the intense, you know, the intense therapy of, you know, that God is doing in your life to just, you know, overcome that, you know.
That's right. It's hard.
It's hard.
And that was one of the things that you also said in your testimony, is that you did go, you said something about you got help for the going through the abortions, isn't that correct?
Yes.
Now, was that, what was that? Was that some kind of program? Or?
Well, it was just a faith-based rehab. Basically, they call it a spiritual boot camp. So, I mean, you're in this rehab, and it's just basically seminary school. And they have counselors come in. They have, I mean, spirit-led counselors come in. They have, you know, the ones with the degree. They have all these counselors come in, and you have, like, once a week deliverance sessions, and you meet with counselors, and you meet, you know. So it's really intense therapy that you do for a year, like, once a week with all of these people.
For a full year.
For a full year.
And so during that time, so you not only, so you were also going through rehab and getting off drugs.
Yes.
And finding healing for your abortions. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All of that took place.
All of that took place at one time. At the same time. I mean, it all happened during that time.
Okay. And so you did that for a year, but then you went on to say that you began to minister with another.
Yes, the pastor that did deliverance on me, I was at rehab, and I went into psychosis. I was coming off of drugs, and they called this pastor, and they're like, we have this crazy girl. I mean, this girl is crazy. She's trying to fight everybody. She's hearing voices.
I so can see it.
Yes.
I mean that in the best way.
Oh, I know. And so here she comes. She, like, they put me in this room, and she comes pulling up in a black Escalade, and she gets out, and she's running in there, and she just starts casting out all these demons. You know, she just starts, you know, going through repentance and going through forgiveness, and, you know, then we work through deliverance. And when we get through, like, the voices immediately went away, and I'm like, man, I want to drive a black Escalade and cast out demons. And she was like, you can. You just have to know your identity. And I was like, okay. And through that year, her saying those words, I always, you know, my identity, who I am in Christ, and know my authority, you know.
That's right.
So after I got out, I trained under her for a year. And then for 3 years after that, we had to open a church in Odessa called No One Left Behind, and we did that for 3 years, full-time ministry for 3 years.
And so did you basically, you were working up underneath her?
Yes.
And so do you think that that was another really powerful time in your life?
Yes. I learned a lot. I learned a lot.
Well, that is just so cool. So you went through that, and then you said in your testimony that you actually moved back to Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when COVID hit and they shut, like, the churches down and everything down in Odessa, I had to eat. So I was like, I want to come back, you know, to where my mom was. I wanted to be with my mom. So I moved back, and I've been back for about two and a half years now.
Awesome. That's good. I am so glad that you came back and you shared your testimony.
I love it. I've always loved Wheeler, but every time I came back, I couldn't wait to get back out. You know, I'm just like, couldn't wait to get back to Odessa. I lived in Oklahoma City for 20 years, but this time since I've been back, I'm so in love with this town. I love it. I love my job. I love coming to, I just love it. I love everything about it.
So do you miss the full-time ministry?
I do miss it, but I minister just as much. I mean, I talk about Jesus, and I mean, just boots on the ground where I'm at, you know. It doesn't have to be in the church.
That's right.
And I mean, I minister to so many people. I work at a convenience store on I-40. And I mean, just a smile, you look so pretty, or Jesus loves you. Hey. You know, there's so many broken and hurt people, you know, they just need that. And that is literally the love of Jesus when you can do that. That's Jesus working through me to them.
And, you know, that is the one thing that I've been talking about on the show, that it's not necessarily about the one in the pulpit, but it's the one with the people the people that are out in the community in their normal everyday lives. How are you conducting your life? You know, when you're around that people, are you bringing Christ into that situation?
Right. And it's so awesome because I have people that come in every morning. They're like, what's the scripture? So I'll read a scripture and then we'll play Bible trivia. And one of my friends, Trisha O'Gorman, comes in every Sunday. She has her little notes and she'll tell me, you know, I'll be like, what'd you learn at church today? So she'll be excited to tell me what she learned at her church, and then that, again, that's iron sharpens iron, and, you know, we just feed off of each other, and it's just, it's exciting, it's amazing.
That's right. It's no competition, not one better than the other.
We just all love Jesus.
That's right. We all love Jesus, and we all have one thing in common.
Yes.
That everybody else would know.
Yes.
That he loves them.
Exactly. And everybody is just like, you are just always in a good mood. You're always just so happy. And I'm like, man, if you only knew, this is Jesus. This is Jesus.
And I think that when you experience, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that when you experience Jesus, there's just something that happens that it don't matter.
Yeah.
None of that doesn't matter anymore. And that's where you find out that your joy comes from him and not from the things around
us. Exactly. I used to just be so angry all the time. I would just wake up mad for no reason, just angry, just mad at my kids, mad at my mom, mad at, you know, just mad at whoever, and just rude for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just like, I see people like that and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, just let Jesus touch your heart. Like,
you think it's because that they're hurting inside?
Yes. Yeah. Because I know I was. I mean, I always acted like I was just so tough and so, you know, like nothing bothered me. But really, I was just miserable and sad and just, you know, I just wasn't a happy person. Just, I wasn't happy with myself.
Right. That's just it. That's what happens is we aren't happy. I'm thinking about this last Wednesday, you know, we had a really good word that came from Miriam McGinn.
I know, she was fire.
I know, I was like, what?
I was like, that's like a fire hydrant, just boom.
I was like, that was a really good word. It was, and exactly. I've been really been pondering on that. And
yes.
So that's what it's making me think of is what can we do to be an encouragement to others around us and lift other people up?
I'm telling you, there's so many people just a smile on your face, just a kind word here or there, just, you know, they know that it's something. They know, like, what is it? Like, why are you so happy? It's Jesus. It really is. I know that sounds like crazy or whatever, which it's not crazy, but if you're not used to it, I'm just like, it really is Jesus. Like, I mean, you're just happy.
That's right. You're
like,
just
he
happy.
Loves us so much.
And I don't know, but this scripture just came to mind, but the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And so when we have that joy and the happiness.
And it's the fruit of the Spirit.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, you know, we talked about part of your testimony about the abortions, and you had drug addiction in your life. And, you know, some of our listeners out there, especially if they've had an abortion, but I can remember if I ever heard anything about that word, it would just put me in a tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be more about, like, politics. People say, vote against abortion.
Right.
And it would just always be, oh, my gosh, I was that person. And so would you be willing to pray for our listeners tonight that maybe they might have some drug addiction in their life, and or they've had some and they're self-condemning, or maybe they did have an abortion and they're trying to find where they can get freedom from that. They don't even realize they're caught in that. But would you be willing to pray for our listeners?
Yes.
All right.
So, I just plead the blood of Jesus over every person that is listening. I just speak and declare that no weapon formed against them can prosper. Lord, I just ask that you just touch that person that is hurting right now, and that you just let them know that they are loved and that they can find somebody safe that they can talk to, that they don't have to keep it in, and that they don't have condemnation, because we know that condemnation is not from you. We just ask that you just steal their heart and their mind so that your voice is all that they hear. And I just command any spirit of fear to leave them right now in Jesus' name. And I cancel any assignment that would come against anybody that is trying to speak out, to confess one to another.
Yes.
So that the enemy cannot torment them with this anymore. And I just speak clarity over everybody's mind, and I just dismantle all confusion right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray peace over every person that is struggling right now. And I just command any spirit of bondage that they have to leave them right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just want to pray over word curses, any word curses that has been spoken over anybody, mm-hmm. calling them, you're just an addict, you're just a junkie, you've had abortion, you've been divorced. I just cancel that right now in Jesus' name, because we know that that is not what God says about us. He says that we are a child of God and that we are the apple of his eye. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for everything that you're doing in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just pray that people experience the love of God, because for me, I knew God loved me because that's what the Bible said, but I had a hard time loving myself.
Yes.
Because I knew, you know,
everything that you did.
Right. And how bad you messed up. And I'm just a mess up.
Right.
And that goes back to the words that you were talking about in the prayer, the words that someone has spoke over. Sure, oh, it's just a mess up. Well, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're not a mess up.
Repeat that in Jesus' name.
That's right. That may be, you may have made a mistake, but that's okay. That's not who you are. Who you are is who you are today.
Right.
And who God has said you are and who he's made you to be.
Amen.
And so just encouraging our listeners in that. So,
yes.
So again, so we have Celebrate Recovery, and it's basically, can anybody come to Celebrate?
Yes, anybody can come, and it's not just for drug or alcohol addiction. I mean, we have people all kind of addictions, or even just depression. Just somebody, if you just feel like something's off, if you feel lonely, you know, if you just feel out of alignment, you know, something is just not right, just out of alignment with you, you know, just come. Mm-hmm. Just come, let us love on you.
That's right.
We all just want to be loved, and you know.
And we you just open arms just as
yes,
you are.
Just as you are. Just as you are.
That's right. Just
yeah.
as you
all
are.
All your junk, everything.
All your junk. And so that's going to be Tuesday night here in Wheeler
yes.
at the one.
At the Deviate building.
Deviate building from at 6 o'clock on
6
Tuesday.
O'clock. Yes.
And then.
And then in Shamrock at Calvary Chapel at Monday nights at 6 p.m. And if you need, if you're from Wheeler and you need a ride, we take a van over there. We meet here at the church at Cornerstone at 5:15, and we all go over there.
In a van.
In a van. And if you've ever rode in a van with a bunch of people, you know how fun it is. We are fun.
I want to go just so I can ride in the van.
Exactly. You'd have a blast.
I'm like, can I just go to ride in the van?
Yeah, exactly.
With all the fun people.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for being vulnerable, because I know that it's hard. It's hard whenever we don't want people knowing our stuff.
Right.
And so I think about where God wants to take the ashes in our life, and he wants to do something, turn it to beauty.
Yes.
And this is one way, is to give hope to somebody else that has experienced the same thing.
Yes.
And so I just want to thank you so much for being willing to share on the radio tonight, and just tell us like it is.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. I just want to remind our listeners that we do have our website, SundayNightLive.org. And on that website, I want to remind you that we do have all of our shows that are archived on there. So if you miss us on a Sunday night, you can go back and listen from there. We also have our app. Well, it's not our app, but the radio app, Kingdom Keys Network, where you can listen to the whole radio live from that app. So even if you don't, we don't necessarily always have radios anymore, and I like my app.
Yeah.
And so you can listen from that app. Also, we have podcasts now. So we have taken the shows, and and you can listen to those through podcast. And gosh, I forgot where they're at now, and I'm going to have Jim fill us in on that. But we have podcasts where we can access, where you can listen to those shows as well. And we just want to be a strength to you. We want to encourage you. You know, this is Sunday night.
Yes.
Tomorrow we start a new work week. We just pray that you are blessed this week. We pray that you experience God's love. And just know that, you know what? It's okay. Just turn to him. He loves you anyway.
Amen.
And we just want you to be blessed. So everybody have a good night, and we will talk to you next week. God is on the move, on the move.